welcome back to your one and only source. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
Oh my God.
I almost immediately yawned and I didn't want to start off on that foot.
Because I would have jumped through the computer screen and throttled you. My name is Caroline, guys, and you may have noticed 2026 has been off to like a little bit of a wonky start for us. So apologies for that. We just have been, I feel like, through it, for lack of a better term, the past month. There's just been constant things being thrown at us. And so I feel like scheduling has been a little bit weird, but I promise you, we are getting back in the game. You're going to have an episode from us today, Tuesday, and also on Thursday this week. So, you know, hopefully we're making it up to you. What were you going to say?
Oh, nothing.
Okay. Well, I was thinking, so for these episodes, we're also still kind of like finding our footing and what exactly these Tuesday episodes are going to be. Like, we're going to talk about pop culture of that time. We're going to talk about like certain things in the show, but I think we'll also talk about our lives a little bit and kind of use like this time to do that for those personal updates, if anyone's just fiending for them, you know? So I thought I could just start with like, what's up? And I'll tell you about me first, because I'm going to freaking New Orleans this weekend and I've never been there.
I know, it's going to be so fun.
I'm really excited. We're going for Gibson's Bachelorette. It's going to be a freaking blast and a half. Can I tell you some of our themes, what we're doing this weekend, what's on the docket?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we get in on Friday, and that night is Twilight themed. Everybody knows that in every woman's bachelorette party, you have a Twilight themed night. So that's night one for us, because it just seemed like the easiest possible way to break the ice, get everybody super bonded super quick. Just kidding, but we are doing a Twilight theme. So everyone has to dress up like their favorite character from Twilight. And no, I can't tell you who I'm dressing up as, but you can certainly guess.
It's top secret.
Well, I know you know, but if you didn't know, what would you guess?
Who's the one with the super curly blonde hair?
Super curly. I mean, Rosalie, I guess.
Is she's one of the other?
Victoria, and it's red hair.
Oh. Who has long curly blonde hair?
Rosalie.
Well, maybe that's what, maybe I'm combining curly. Them in my brain.
That's Nikki Reed. Is Rosalie. Is. Yeah, I mean, Rosalie's the woman who's with Emmett. My monkey man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably a good guess. Who would you be? Carlisle? Wait, I keep forgetting you're not like a Twilight head, which I hate about you. And so I don't even know if like you know who Carlisle is.
I do. I've seen the first movie.
That's so
and maybe the second one.
Say.
New Moon? Is that the second one?
Yeah, that's the second one.
Yeah, I think I've seen
that
one,
too. Hey, now
that
you're into reading, now that you've brushed up your reading skills and you know how to do it again, let's get started on the Stephenie Meyer anthology.
Hey, everybody, I did read 12 books last year.
Okay, like, why not 13? Just kidding. That's not a month. That's not bad. But
that was
think,
and that was my goal last year.
Okay, then you did it. Like, do you
thank
need
you.
Me to give you a high five? You
no,
did
I'm just saying
it.
You're
your
acting like
goal.
I like you're acting like I didn't read anything last year. I read
I'm
12
just
books.
Joshing. Well, it's because you famously are like, you're like, I'm not reading hard enough. I'm not reading what I should be reading. Everyone is judging me because my Goodreads isn't up to date. Like, that's like all Phoebe thinks about right now. Sounds like I'm joking. I'm literally not joking. You texted us yesterday, you're like, okay, so I've decided. For
no,
reading.
I did that. That's my goal this year. I think that sometimes I do, but it's not because I like it's not because of what other people think, and it's not
yeah,
because
right.
of my Goodreads. It's
yeah,
because
right.
I don't like how I feel when I don't read. But I need to I need to like build that muscle back up in a way that it's like I don't feel tortured when I do it.
Yeah.
So I think that like if I am picking easier books to read for this first half of the year, the habit will be built and my brain will enjoy reading before bed, so that when I decide to start, I have to pick up the books that I have been on my list and I do want to read.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not necessarily books that you just like pick up when you haven't really been reading.
I do feel that like although poignant and an important work, 1984 by George Orwell is not the book to like get back into reading. It's not maybe going to be the one that you're like, I can't put this thing down.
I know. It and I learned that. I'm about 20 pages into that one. And I think
at least you made it 20 pages in. And just remember, I did tell you to do Animal Farm instead because it was less daunting. Right. And you said, no.
Well, I've already read Animal Farm. I haven't read 1984.
I bet you don't remember anything except that it's a bunch of animals. Bunch of animals.
And one's named Napoleon. Yeah. The pig. I think I'm going to reread the ones that I haven't read. The Hunger Games books for the new Hunger Games. Like when that book. Because
like
those
instead
I think,
of. The Twilight series.
Well, eventually
series.
I'll get to them, but I just think I want
to. I don't believe you. I have to strike while the iron's hot because you're going to get mad at me for saying this, but like, what if you lose your drive?
And
you
now Caroline's projecting. And now Caroline's projecting.
I'm not projecting. I'm just saying like.
Because Caroline like famously, and she says it about herself, you know, she reads like 100 books and then she doesn't read for 5 years.
So what? Maybe like 1 year and not even, but I am currently in that phase. I've read like 10 books in the past like month.
I know, that's crazy. How many books has Kelly read this year so far?
I don't know. That's a good question. Probably a lot because she got a Kindle for Christmas.
I like the concept that one of Dad's New Year's resolutions like 2 years ago was to read 52 books in a year. That's one a week. And
no
chance. The concept that Kelly could read 52 books in a year before Chris Connell, our dad, does is epic.
And now that I know that was his goal, it's mine. And now that I know that was his goal once, my goal is 53. Yeah, and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it in January.
And then Dad is going to participate in the discourse that was happening on Twitter a couple weeks ago where it's like, you didn't read real books because they weren't about like evolution.
So over that. Like, that's a thing. Like, and if you guys listen to our Thursday episode, you will hear me talk about this. But like, I just read a book that I felt like was more like, I don't know. It was like, okay, let me take a break from the M. Hen book. So let me take a break from the Emily Henrys. Even
when
though
you
I'm
ran
really,
out of it.
No, I still have, I think, two more that I can read. I've read four of them. And I loved Happy Place, which people were surprised by. But I think it was my favorite one. It really just reminded me of like my college best friends. The premise of it is that like, and it's going to be turned into a movie, but the premise of it is it's like a group of college best friends, a couple of them are dating, whatever, and they do like a trip every year, and it's like their lives are
changing. You would like it.
Yeah, and their lives are changing, and like people are getting married and having children, like all kinds of things, and it's I don't know. Anyway, I loved it. But
I do just want to say to Emily Henry, I think that we should consider, and I know the deals are done, but like, why are we immediately selling these all to Netflix?
I know.
I saw Housemaid again yesterday. I know you and mom are supposed to see it today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was still, it was like sold out. And I know it was sold out because I went to go look at my seat, make sure no one's sitting by me. I'm sitting, one person sitting in a row for four. I'm like, certainly no one's going to come sit up here. Every seat in my row filled. But thankfully, I did a double feature, so I was 15 minutes early. I was the first one in the theater, so I moved into an empty seat.
Oh, thank God. No, that's
but brutal. I was like, are you kidding me?
Are you freaking joshing me?
How do you feel comfortable sitting next to someone alone? Anyway, but I had a similar experience to you the first time you saw The Housemaid. But I think I was in a theater of people who didn't. No,
who didn't know the twist, and like,
because it is like, I do think you can enjoy Amanda Seyfried's performance so much more
if you
when
know.
You realize that it's funny, like it's
yes,
it's like the
exactly.
way she says certain things when she throws that milk out of the fridge and then like starts crying on the floor and she stands up and she looks at Millie and she goes, "You have completely ruined my day."
So good.
She goes. You really need to be more careful next time. This has completely ruined my day.
No, she's hilarious. She is so
good in that movie.
It makes the movie so much more enjoyable to the point that I'm like, what do you mean we're going to be making the second one and she won't be in it?
Exactly.
I'm going to enjoy the second one because it's going to be the Sydney Sweeney show. Which
the
I'm
cast
just like,
better be like, I just finished that one. So like thinking about those characters, the cast better be as good as this cast was sans Sydney Sweeney.
Like, they need to like White Lotus this shit. You know what I mean? Like stack each cast so that I want to come back because I know it's not going to be the same.
And I'm not
situation and storyline. And you need to get me in here. You need
watching
to
her
in.
Again. I was like, this is more painful than I remember.
Yeah, I know. I just am not. And mom was like, remember when you guys were obsessed with Sydney Sweeney? I was like, no.
We no. never really were.
She was like, well, you really liked her in The White Lotus. Sydney Sweeney. I was like, well, she had done Euphoria. And that was like,
that was like when she was kind of the cool girl.
We knew her from Handmaid's Tale. Uh-huh. We knew her from Euphoria. And we were like, this girl's really talented and like pretty.
And
but
now
she's
it's
really
not
really talented.
But I think what's so weird about The Housemaid is like, I do still feel like there have been things that she has done since Euphoria where I feel mm-hmm. like her acting is still pretty good. Mm-hmm. And this just feels like,
no.
How are you? Who is this person?
I feel like anybody on planet Earth could have played this role.
Yes.
Like, and I wish that someone they needed else had. Her to be naked. You know what I mean? Like that's, and I don't want to just diminish her down to that, but I do feel like that's what happened there. I don't know. I would love it if Freda McFadden could just write another book where it's like maybe Millie and Nina team up. Mm-hmm. And then it's like here, because you know what I just found out?
What?
There is, so the author of the Gossip Girl series, Cecily Von Zeisegar, I think is how you say her name. She also wrote a book called Gossip Girl Psycho Killer. And it's about Serena. It's like an alternate timeline where Serena comes back from boarding school and kills everybody. So, like, I have to get my hands on that. Holy and fuck. Where is the show about that?
Yeah, no, that's true.
And let's get Paul, is it Paul Feig? How do you say his last name?
Yeah.
Let's get Paul Feig to direct it because that is the thing.
I
he
think
did
he's
a simple favor.
Too.
I love, he is a really good director.
It's
and
just
say
fun.
What you will about the people that he puts in his movies,
but they are
he
fun
makes
movies
great
to
movies.
Go see.
They're really fun to go see. They feel like movies you want to go see in a theater.
I mean, like, I saw it again in that needle drop at the end.
Fire. I'll be seeing it for the third time with mom.
And here's the thing. My worry with the, if Freda McFadden were to rewrite or were to write a book where Nina comes back,
mm-hmm.
the best part of Amanda's performance was when she was being crazy.
Totally.
When she comes downstairs after they've had their affair and she has the blush and the smeared.
Her makeup is so, and they never mention it. They never mention it to the point that I'm like, I hope everyone else is noticing how genius this is, that she just like.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I really liked that that part, like those details that they kind of picked up on the from the book. Like Paul, that's another thing he did really well is like he was able to expertly navigate like what was going to translate better than how it was written in the book.
Right. Totally. Yeah.
Anyway, so I saw that yesterday. And I saw Is This Thing On, which you got to go see.
Really?
It's with Will Arnett, Laura Dern, directed by Bradley Cooper. And he's in it, but I almost didn't even recognize him. So it's
it
not
looks
like
it was going to bum me out.
No, but it's also funny and it's heartwarming and it is sad, but it's mm-hmm. not like I didn't come away from it like in a bad mood. I was like that. Okay. I really enjoyed watching that. And it was cool to see Will Arnett not be like fully a goofball. Like he was like, it was, and Laura Dern was extraordinary, of course.
As
like she's
always.
Just such a good actress and she's such a comforting, and I kind of like seeing her in a role where she's not like there's more, I don't know how to put this in a way that makes sense, but like she's a comfort character. Or she's a comfort actor, but the character mm-hmm. isn't like there's still like something interesting happening with the character that mm-hmm. isn't like a marmy or like she's not playing like a mom. And Renata is completely different. It's not a campy performance either. It's just like, anyway, she's so good in it. I'm not going to spoil who is in it at one point, but there was a moment where I was like, what?
Catherine Cullen?
No.
Catherine Cullen?
No, that wouldn't have made me react the way that I... But it's also... It was a cool... And Amy Sedaris is in it. It was a cool insight also into like, and obviously I know it's not completely realistic. There were a lot of Letterboxd reviews that were like, that is just not how the comedy scene is. Like, you don't like get XYZ from doing it for 2 weeks as a hobby.
It's a movie.
Exactly. But it was cool to see comedians like have a perspective and like talk about that scene and coming up, yeah. And how like there are nights where if they have a joke they want to work through, they'll go to 5 different open mic nights.
Yeah.
And do it. Who else was in it? But Will Arnett, Bradley Cooper, and I think the guy from Will and Grace.
Sean Hayes.
Sean Hayes was in it, but he's not the person I was thinking that helped them write it. But 3 of them wrote it together. And I don't know. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. I was worried it wasn't going to live up to my expectations, and it did. So I had a perfect double feature yesterday.
Wow.
Saw that first, right. And then saw Housemaid.
Okay, well, that sounds like a good day. Yeah, I was going to go see a movie last night, and I was like, I don't want to see this primate movie, and there's just not really that much that I want to see.
I probably will see it.
You what?
I will be seeing Primate eventually.
It's not like speaking to me, but I know that I'll see it. Anyway, the point of all this is I need you to read the Twilight books. I really think that you will like them. And they're a really good way to get back into reading. I'm telling you, they're easy reads and they will suck you in. And you will like get that feeling of like, I need the second book now. Like, you will feel like that. I'm telling you, I can remember in my bones how I felt the first time I read them. And I was in middle school. I'm not kidding you. Like, I started reading it in 8th grade, and I remember being on the floor in Connecticut visiting Liney, reading Eclipse, and being like upset, like my stomach hurt because I like had finished the book and I didn't have the next one. Like, and I was like so sad it was over. And I just think that if you want a book that's like, I'm just taking the pressure off myself and I want to get the muscles moving, fucking start Twilight. Don't be intimidated by the size. Don't be intimidated by the preconceived notions. Just do it. And that's the lesson for all of you. And I'm saying that to all of you. Read it before you read Hunger Games. Just read Twilight. You don't have to read all of them. You don't have to finish the whole series, but read Twilight.
Also, right now I'm reading The People We Meet on Vacation.
Okay. So well, when you finish that.
Let me get through this Twilight. and then we'll pivot. And we'll see.
I watched People We Meet on Vacation last night. It was cute. It was a fun rom-com. I do feel like these things can be on the big screen. Yeah. I do think also, though, unfortunately, we're entering a, reality where Netflix is just the behemoth, and it feels like they have a monopoly on almost everything. And it's not really a good thing. But at the same time, you can't always blame these people for doing it because it's like,
a lot of money.
They're going to have the highest bid time and time again. It's really like a crazy thing. Anywho, okay, night 2 in New Orleans is like our witchy night, but also like a little bit more upscale. And we're going to a burlesque show.
You guys should all dress excited. Like they do in Coven as they walk through French Quarter.
That kind of is the inspo of the, I made like the mood board. That's kind of the vibe. And then on Sunday, so what's funny is the bride, her 30th birthday is the day that we leave. So we're also going to do like a birthday party on the Sunday night, which will be really fun. I think it's going to be great. I'm really excited.
Wow.
I'm really sad because I didn't get to go to the last one. So like, I'm just excited to make new memes with my friends, and it's going to be great. And then her wedding is in April in Charleston, and Steven's going to be there, mm-hmm. and Kelly's going to be there, and we're going to get an Airbnb, and it's going to be so fun. Anyway, so that's coming up this weekend. Something I did want to talk about. What is it? Where is it? Gosh darn it. Maybe I put it in the podcast notes. Oh, okay. A couple things. Number one, is that Kristen Stewart also said she would be really excited to do a Twilight remake. Crazy. And I thought it was
see the day.
Crazy. And she would want to direct it. And she was like, I think if it was done today,
kind
like,
of fun.
The budget and the love, like I was like, oh my God, that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Now that she said that is going to happen. I think Robert Pattinson would do it too. 100%. 100%. I think he would do it. It's so refreshing when you hear people talk about projects like that and that way, especially those two. Like,
because you wouldn't expect it.
They dated, like, yeah.
But I do feel like they both really have reverence for that part of their life and appreciate what it gave. I don't think, obviously, it took space. Mm-hmm. They needed to let it breathe. But I do think, like, they've come back around to really valuing that. Which I like. I like that so much more than when people resent it.
As much as I love Blair Waldorf, and I think I love Leighton Meester, but I really don't know that much about her as a person. I think she's pretty private. But, like, everything I hear about her is how, like, not excited she is to talk about Gossip Girl, how she wouldn't want to go back to, like, all these things. And I'm just like, what happened on that set that makes you talk about it like this and, like, not have the reverence for what it was, you know what
and
I mean?
Kind of, like, I hate to sound this way, but, like, the life that it gave you.
Well, yeah, and I think she, like, acknowledges that, but it also just the, even just in, like, the way that she speaks about it, it's, like, it is, even though she might be saying that she's, like, grateful to it, the way she's delivering that line gives her away that I don't think she really, like, I don't know, but anyway, I think it would be so cool, and so that was another thing, but, in 2026, I've decided that I would like to conquer my fear of flying because I'm going to be going on some big, long international flights and I cannot be scared of it. I just can't be. So a couple things that I'm like doing. Number one, I did buy a neck pillow, a comfy neck pillow. And the last flight I was on was a Delta flight. And did I talk about this at all on here? I don't think I did. So. I was flying back from Vegas. I had two Delta flights. The first one I get on, it's like a 3-hour flight. I'm in a middle seat. I'm alone. Oof. I'm also sick as fuck. And I was like, this is my hell. This is going to be horrible. It's a long flight. Like, oh my God. For me, that's a long flight. I go in. First of all, the seats are so much more comfortable than the seats that I'm used to on like Southwest, United, whatever. The TV is obviously in all the seats and I was able to like watch literally, like I could stream Gossip Girl on it. I could watch like whatever I want. You can see how much longer is left in your flight. You can look at the menu. They have all kinds of fun snacks. I got two free glasses of wine on these flights. But the most important thing is that the pilot comes on the intercom and he's like, this is going to be a bumpy ride. And I was just like, fuck my life. Like I'm going to freak out. And every time that there was turbulence, it literally felt as though there was like some kind of buffer between like the plane and me. Like it felt like I wasn't being like shaken up in my seat. It felt like there was turbulence I was aware of, but it like whether the plane was engineered a different way or whatever, like I didn't move as much and I wasn't as scared to the point that I literally left and I was like, I wanted to ask the pilot. I was like, do you like is the plane constructed differently than other planes? Like literally, that's how much I noticed it. Second flight I went on, also Delta, same experience. Like it was just really a good flight. And I was like, okay, when I was booking my flight to New Orleans, I was like, it's a little bit more expensive, but like, I'm going to be flying alone. It's a long flight. And I know that this was like a positive flying experience for me. I think I just need to like swallow it and do it again.
Well,
because
you know,
I know that worked for me.
You should set this
up. You choose your seat. What?
You're going to have to on Southwest soon anyway. So it's not really.
I know.
Which I think Southwest is going to regret.
Because
the experience of flying Southwest is not good enough for
it
to be the same.
Now that you don't get a free bag.
Yeah.
And that.
Like for you guys, those are the things that set you apart, that and your like quirky hospitality vibe. Those are
which
the things
which doesn't
that
even really
difference.
Exist anymore. The
so
Delta
I don't
people
understand
are so much nicer.
Why you would take away the things that to me are the reason that I like other than convenience, because it's what I've always flown.
Right.
Those are the things that stick out to me as reasons I would want to fly there. But you can hook up your Starbucks app to Delta. And
what?
I think it will like combine, it'll like, it does something with your points.
Ooh, well, because I was like, you know what, I was tempted to do Southwest too, because I do have even part of like a partial flight voucher on Southwest, so I was like, I could use this, but the flights were like really expensive anyway, so I was like, it's not making like enough
just
of
use
difference.
That for when you have like a flight
that's
to
what I was thinking. I was like, I'll have a cheaper flight and I'll just use it on that. But I was like, I have these like points on Southwest, but like I want to have points on Delta, so I was like, I'm gonna just, you know, do this, whatever. I'm flying Delta. And I'm like very much, I like feel so much better. I don't have a sense of dread coursing through me. I got one of those like air things where you can connect your Bluetooth speakers to the thing. Cause like the last time it didn't really work for me. So I did have to use their headphones, which was fine, but I would prefer to use my own. I've got my meds taken care of. And so if anyone has any trips for, or any tips for conquering your fear of flying, especially in like long flights, would love it. When Anthony's there, it's a little better for me, but like when I'm alone, I really freak. And I just am tired of this being my reality. Like I just can't have this anymore. I'm going to have to be on flights and I don't want to be scared of them. And like, it just got so bad last year. I can't do it again. Like I can't dread travel this way. So that's on the list. And then the last thing I wanted to say is that I was watching, what was I watching? Oh no, I have a couple. I'm sorry. I have a couple more things. Have you ever watched Tell Me Lies?
Mm-mm. Not yet.
Dude, holy shit. Chloe was like, what do you mean you didn't watch Tell Me Lies? What? Like, you have to. So I started it. Devoured it. Devoured the two seasons in like a millisecond, it feels like. Injected in my veins. New season coming on the 13th. Oh my God, today, if you're listening on Tuesday. Holy shit, Grace Van Patten is so good at acting. She was
the girl that was in the Amanda Knox.
She was right? Amanda Knox, yes. She is so good. She is so good. There is so much sex. So if you're absolutely living for heated rivalry and all the softcore porn or hardcore porn we're getting there, then you will also love Tell Me Lies because you get a lot of it there too, although it isn't usually male gay sex, but you do get a lot of sex. The storylines... But guys, I was watching it and like in the first couple of episodes, I wasn't really sure, kind of spoilers for Tell Me Lies, if Lucy, Grace Van Patten's character was like, because she's like the main character, she's supposed to be kind of the protagonist, but she's like objectively a bad person. And that becomes a lot more clear as the show goes on. And it's like, okay, no one is supposed to think she's good. But in the beginning, I was like, this girl is a massive problem. Like she needs to be rehomed. Like she needs to be taken out of this college campus. She should not be unleashed in a college campus. And then I realized she acts like a lot of college freshman girls. And it's the craziest show. I'm obsessed with it. I've never seen such an insane, like, you think the relationships in Gossip Girl are toxic? Holy fuck. Phoebe, you need to watch it. I haven't felt this passionately about a show in like a minute. It's okay. So good. You will go feral for it. You specifically will love it. It's crazy. Okay. You can't imagine.
And I know that I just told you that I was rewatching Pretty Little Liars with Brecken, but I did say while we were watching it, and you're going to want to die when I say this.
Probably.
It's I think it's due time for one of my own just organic Phoebe-only rewatches of Pretty Little Liars.
Wait, what? So you're already rewatching it and you're going to start rewatching it on your own? So you're going to have two rewatches going of the same show?
Yeah.
Phoebe, no. Phoebe, I'm putting the kibosh on that. I am putting my foot down. And
I just love having it on.
Get over that.
And here's the thing. Like,
love I'm having something else on.
I'm happy we're doing Gossip Girl. It's going to be great. It is. I'm having growing pains with it. And I think because it's not my show. And not that it's not my show. But, like, I don't feel the kinship to these characters that I did. And also, yeah. I think it's hard to remember how we felt when we first started about, yeah. Like, but I did. Like, I was watching it and I was like, I just, like, miss my girls.
I do miss my girls.
I miss Hannah.
I think that you will start to feel like that though, because I relate. I didn't have like growing pains, obviously, because it was our first podcast, but I wasn't like immediately like, I love these girls. These are my girls. Like, and certainly the way that I felt about it changed so much throughout the course of the show that by the end of it, like I was like fatigued a little bit, but I was also like, these are my girls. Like my love for Hannah was so real. I do feel like you're going to get there with it, but it might take a minute. It might take a minute. It's okay. But you still love it, right?
Yeah, I do. I don't think these characters are as likable as the Liars. Other than Blair.
The Liars are famously incredibly likable.
Okay, other than Arya, they're all relatively likable and redeemable. Serena, unlikable. Chuck, unlikable. Dan, unlikable. Jenny will be unlikable. Eric, unlikable. Vanessa,
nasty,
loathable.
Blair, lovable.
Yeah. Blair and Lily, they're the redeeming qualities of the show.
Okay, well, look. Just
not of the show. I mean, character-wise, that's what I mean.
You're stressing me out. Well, Georgina will be here soon, and then you'll feel fine again, okay? Just chill out. No, I know what you're saying, but I do want Tell Me Lies to replace that. Because it'll be quick. And everyone's about to be talking about it. Okay. Because the third season is coming out in 2 days. That is true.
I mean, I always see it. I know, it's on the list. It's on Hulu,
I can't
though.
Believe it took me so long.
So for me, I feel sometimes on my TV, because I can't, I use Mom and Dad's Hulu, which because it's live, I can't have it actually on my TV.
Yeah.
So sometimes stuff on Hulu,
we'll get this. Like,
I put it on the back burner because I don't want to have to do the HDMI cord and everything.
I've been watching on my iPad.
I'm dead with the way you went.
I flashed my iPad at the camera. I've been watching it on my iPad, not kidding.
Because Caroline needed to feel like she was in a virtual reality in the room having sex with these people.
I'm just saying, like, I'm an iPad kid, yes, but I don't really use my iPad for watching
I don't have an iPad. So.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. You could watch it on your laptop and it would still be enjoyable to you. Go Maybe. Curl up in your bed, put it on your laptop, start watching it. You'll be addicted fast. Fast, I promise to. I can't believe it took me this long, and I'm just obsessed. And the last thing I need to say, and I don't remember what sparked me thinking this, that I needed to talk about this. I really do not. Oh, how could I forget? This weekend I saw The Cabaret at my alma mater, high school. And Anthony and I go together, and he goes, wow. I mean,
you guys were really, really walking through your hallowed halls.
Oh, for sure. We're in the room where it happened. It happened being our first kiss. Mm-hmm. We were just like, okay, so like the years change, the theater kids don't. Like, okay, there's still a kid wearing a sparkly fedora. There's like, I can still see the stereotypes.
How funny was when I sent in the family group chat the picture of Lisa Rinna?
Oh, so good. No, I mean, okay, also, God, Traitors, Lisa Rinna on Traitors.
Guys, I said in the group, I sent the picture of Lisa. Lily had a massive, and when like massive, double it by 100 what you're picturing, massive phase with animal print.
Yeah.
Specifically leopard and cheetah print.
Yeah.
And so I sent that picture of Lisa in her
Traitors outfit with the fedora.
In the fedora. And I said, if Lily could have picked out an outfit for me as a kid.
Because, quite frankly, if Lily could have picked out an outfit for herself, she had a cheetah fedora and she kind of wore that outfit daily.
The reason I said for me is because Lily would be like, well, she likes to wear ties. She always wears that fucking hat on her head. So I'll give her like, this just seems like it works. I texted Jules and GC because they were a little bit ahead of me and I was watching it. And I was like, I do have to just say, before I found out who the traitors were. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm getting a little bit nervous that the only footage we have in the previews of Lisa is her in her day one outfit.
Oh, I think that was on purpose.
I was getting nervous.
I think they wanted people to think, well, and everyone, but like they wanted people to think. I also was like, what is it going to be like with Lisa and Dorinda? Like we've kind of got two.
And I love that they're loving each other.
Dorinda is cracking me up when she comes into the room and starts like crying, tearing up, and everyone starts applauding. And she's the only person to walk on the inside of the table rather than the outside. I was just like, of course. Like,
and she learned from her last season selfie, her last season portrait, that she shouldn't pose like Shower Harvey in season 7.
Oh my God, the show was so fucking good. Anyway, we'll talk more about Traitors another time, but no, I was like sitting in that room watching all the theater kids having the time of their lives. And I remembered a time that Mom really like thought this outfit was gonna eat on me. Like we went to American Apparel and
as
she
mom
got
loved
me
to do.
Oh yeah, she got me one of those like tutu skirts that was like really in. You know what I mean? It was like a looser version of like a tutu.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got me this red like velvet skirt to go over it. And like then I wore like a black shirt with it. And I remember feeling super cute because it really made my waist look small because the skirt was like, I was wearing like a full like hoop skirt to school. And this happened to be the day that we were learning how to do old age makeup in theater class. And I had a theater like seventh period. And so I go down and like I was like,
so a Caroline's full like, face. Guys and guys, I'll just leave it on. I can go. I
bitch,
can go
that's to- what the st- that's how the story ends. That's what I was about to say. You just took the punchline of the joke. I'm in there doing my old age makeup and I'm like, I'm leaving this on. On the day I'm wearing a full hoop skirt to school, and I walk to my English class where I low-key had a crush on my teacher and also a boy in the class I was like talking to.
Why were you doing
what?
That?
Why did I do that? And I walked through the halls like people saw me walking and they couldn't miss me again. Hoop skirt.
So if you guys had any doubt about, like, if you guys were like, well, Caroline just seemed so cool in high school. She was, but she was a theater kid.
Yeah, like, that's the crazy part. Like, I was like, there are so many memories I have from high school like, that Caroline don't align with that person. You know
Caroline,
what I mean?
Caroline is a Rachel Berry. Let me think about this. You are a Quinn Fabre son.
Thank you.
Rachel Berry rising.
Holy shit.
Santana Moon.
8. Okay. The Holy Trinity. Okay. What more could a girl ask for? Literally. Thank God. I love that. Yes. Correct. Yeah. I am just like, why? What were people thinking as I'm walking
nothing
through
nice.
The halls?
Nothing you actually want to know. They were thinking.
Looking like an old woman wearing a,
and
like
also,
a full hoop skirt.
Think about the people who like, in no universe is there any class in that building at any given time they would imagine do, let's teach the kids how to do old age makeup. So like, imagine someone who like barely knows you just seeing you and be like,
why is there Caroline? A little old lady walking through the hall?
Wait, did you guys see Caroline Connell today?
And everyone's what? Like, she, everyone's I mean, she like, used to there's a crazy ghost here. There's a ghost walking through the halls. She's old as the hills, and she's wearing like a period outfit. Like she's wearing like a hoop skirt.
I love old as the hills.
Old so as the funny. Hills. So funny. I also remember my crush saying like, "What is on
what
your face?
What is that?"
I sat next to him and this was in the time when like we weren't like fully taught. We were like texting, but like we weren't like, I was like, I'm going to make him like me, but he hasn't figured out that he likes me yet. And I did this.
That is just not
obsessed with attention, Caroline good Connor. Or bad, good or bad. Like, why did I guess I thought it would be like hilarious. Like, I don't know. Like, what the fuck was I thinking? And I just like, as I was watching those kids, I was just like, God, I really did that, and that is a regret I have. Okay, fine. That is one day
we
in high school that I
we
regret.
We found the one regret.
You're welcome, Caroline, you guys. You're begging me to announce one single regret, and I found it, and that's the only one. And don't try to get me to find another one. Anyway, I just needed to say that on air. I was like, the people need to hear this story and know the truth about me, and know the truth about me. But well, now we can talk about.
Well, wait.
Okay,
guys, it's Tuesday if you're listening to this, which means Caroline is either living in a good or bad household, and I'm either
true.
I am like having to pull myself out of my bed on Tuesday morning. And here's what I'll say. Here's how I described this today.
Okay.
Sunday feels like Christmas Eve on a year where there's a really good possibility you're on the naughty list.
You're getting
you are like, but you're like, still. You're still really excited at the possibility that maybe you made the nice list.
Maybe you weren't. Yeah.
But you are like going to bed with one eye open. Like there is a big possibility I'm getting coal in my stocking tomorrow.
100%.
Guys, we're talking about the Steelers game, by the way.
Yeah. They made the playoffs, you guys. The thing is, like, I'm not even, you know, a huge sports fan. I know it's a surprise, but my husband is, and that's why Phoebe said it'll either be a good house or bad house tomorrow on Tuesday. But I really like get so like, I also feel like it's Christmas Eve. I'm really excited for the Steelers game tomorrow, but I'm also so scared.
And you're in Pittsburgh, so you can probably test this more.
Dude,
but like,
I went to the grocery store last night at like,
do you feel
it was
like the energy is very different for this playoff game than it has been.
Do you want to know what was playing on a loop in the grocery store?
Here we go.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, you guys, we're all seeing it. The new year, new you propaganda. And let me just be the one to tell you, 2026 does not require a new you. But a less burdened you would probably be nice. And I believe everyone deserves that. And I also believe that therapy can really help you get there. And if you have listened to this podcast for even 1 minute, then you probably know that I'm a massive advocate for therapy. It has helped me a lot for a really long time. The concept of a new year was literally petrifying to me. I didn't want to think about any goals. I didn't want to discuss them. I didn't want to make a vision board or write anything down, because then if I didn't achieve them, to me, it felt like I was a total failure. And that was really scary to me. I had a lot of fear of the unknown. I was plagued with self-doubt and felt this immense pressure, and all of these things together just honestly made me want to shut down. And to tell you the truth, I still feel all of those feelings, but I now know that I can get through these. These are not insurmountable feelings anymore. And therapy has been the biggest game changer when it comes to just how I move through life, feeling these tough emotions. With therapy, I'm really able to understand why these fears are so paralyzing and where they're coming from, and then how to work with them instead of running from them. And just knowing that I've got a weekly standing appointment with somebody who is going to offer me this unbiased perspective, help me to see things more clearly, help me to understand my emotions and what's going on, and also just to kind of help me pick up the pieces when things inevitably fall apart. Because I don't know what 2026 is going to bring, but girl, what I do know is there are going to be some rough patches. There are going to be bad days. But I also know that I am strong enough to get through them. Nothing is insurmountable, and I have got an amazing support system to back me up. I want the same thing for you. So in 2026, I want you to reframe therapy as self-care. It is a gift that you can give to yourself, and you deserve it. And BetterHelp can help make it really, really easy. They've got quality therapists. They work according to a strict code of conduct. They're fully licensed in the U.S. And one of my favorite things about BetterHelp is they have a therapist match commitment. So they're going to do the initial matching work for you so you can just focus on your therapy goals. They will send you a short questionnaire that helps to identify your needs and preferences. And then they're going to use their 12 plus years of experience and industry leading match fulfillment rate, meaning they typically get it right the first time. And they're going to find you someone who is hopefully a total match. And if it isn't, you can switch to a different therapist at literally any time. They are one of the world's largest online therapy platforms. BetterHelp has served over 5 million people globally, and it really works. They have an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session, and that's based on over 1.7 million client reviews. Guys, that's a lot. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com.
Steelers. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. I'm walking up and I was like, is a car playing that? No.
That is the easiest song.
A loop.
That is the easiest. That's the best way to figure out really how the Pittsburgh accent feels in your mouth. Yes. If you just sing like the man who sings those verses. Aaron Rodgers. I can't do it, actually. I can do it perfectly in my brain.
No, let's just keep workshopping it. Keep trying it out.
No, not right now. But anyway, like it feels like we could really do it.
I'm scared to like even say that out loud. I'm scared to say we made the playoffs. I know we did, but I'm like, I don't know, like
by
barely.
The skin of our freaking teeth.
I mean, that game, I always like will have it on. Like, okay, here's the deal. I better be free if there's a Steelers game, but Anthony can do whatever he wants. So I didn't make any plans and he went out. So I'm at home like cleaning.
Is he going to Shooters again tomorrow?
No, we're watching it here. I was cleaning the house and I was like, okay, let's see. Like, that is the other thing about football, though, is like, I really have a hard time watching it and not thinking that I'm responsible for everything that happens, good or bad. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to go wash the dishes and like have the game on in the other room.
Oh,
like,
no, I know exactly what you mean. If I'm not watching and something good happens, I can't.
I was
come
like,
back in.
Okay, I'm going back. I'm going upstairs. I'm going to do whatever. Then I come down, Ravens are up. And I was like, oh, okay. Maybe I should sit and watch and for a second. And then I'm watching. And I was like, I mean, when I can't, the kicks, dude. Like, okay. And here's what I said to Anthony about football. Two things. Number one, I said this a couple weeks ago. I just think this sounds evil. I think if you're the kicker, you should not be allowed to miss. You're fired if you missed.
Do you want to feel better about Boswell's missed kick? That one was blocked. So that was on it wasn't on Boswell. It was really more on our special teams. Okay. Because the Ravens were able to reach up and tip it. Whereas the Ravens, they just fucking missed it.
Well, also, I'm sorry. I felt so bad for that kid.
Like, oh my God. So what did you see? Boswell went up to him at the end of the game.
Oh, that's really sweet. Because
if I was that kicker who missed it, I'd say get out of my fucking face. Because also just missed that kick. I don't want to talk about
that's
it.
That's so nice of Boswell to go up to him. I mean, I was like, I feel sick for that kid. Like, he's a rookie, but he was a little cocky before he went to go do it. He was like on the sidelines, like, blah, 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 like put me in, like, yeah, like fuck you. Like, he was like all, so I was kind of like,
that's fair.
Yeah. But I still feel really bad because the second it happened, he started crying and he put his hand, I actually can't think about it. It makes me feel sick. But anyway, another thing I want to say, so that's the first thing, is I don't think you should be allowed to miss if you're a kicker. I think it's so crazy. You have one job. Like, it's not that hard. I don't need to do it. It's not my job, though. Anthony was like, do you know how hard it is? I was like, I don't need to. Like, I'm just like, I don't need to know how hard it is to be like working.
I'm
on
not
an
paid
oil
$100 million.
Rig. You know
to
what
do
I mean?
It.
Like, if I'm working in an oil rig, yeah, I would know how hard it is, but that's not my calling. It's not my job. I don't know, so I don't need to know. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Just same with this. And I was like, I just feel like I know they're saying like Boswell hasn't missed. Like, I feel like I've seen him miss like kind of a lot. Like, so.
Well, that's what Adam Crowley's been saying on the radio.
Really? Okay, Adam, I see what you're seeing. Okay, the next thing I want to say is sometimes when the other team is like getting a touchdown, it's like, why did the defense stop running? Like, don't
well,
slow
especially
down.
Especially on our last game.
I know.
When they kept throwing balls into the middle of the field, and I'm like, wait, are the Steelers even on the field?
Are the Steelers playing? Wait, no, is there another team out here? No, literally, I was like, who are we throwing the ball to? We're just throwing it willy-nilly and hoping it ends up somewhere. Like, are we crazy? But also,
no, but
like,
I'm saying
sorry.
When the Ravens would throw it, and then there wouldn't be any Steelers defense even
well,
near
I
the
also
guy.
Thought you were talking about when Aaron Rodgers would throw the ball and no one, and it would just hit the ground. Well, and where then, was that going? Where was anybody
like,
in the world?
He gets so mad, and it's like, I can tell either he's trying to pretend like that wasn't his fault, or someone did genuinely get the play
and
wrong.
He's,
and
he's
me
so
and Mimi,
mad.
Me and Mimi always say, I do not want to be that team if I fucked up at halftime. And I'm not even worried about Mike Tomlin. I'm worried about going into that locker room.
Don't show me
Aaron
Rodgers on
say.
The sidelines because it scares me. He's just seething. Every time I see him on the sidelines, he's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'm like, does he hate his life? And then he's like, thank you for bringing me here. And I'm like, what? But anyway, there were just moments where like a Ravens player is like running into the end zone, making a touchdown. It's like, I know that like you think they're definitely gonna make that touchdown, but what if they slipped? Or what if like you just had a little bit more juice in you and you could just run a little bit and grab them? Like, all I'm saying is like,
everybody's
where's the follow through?
Everybody's giving like, up. Everybody's like, if we get rid of Tomlin, and by everybody I mean Anthony, everybody's like, who do we replace him with? I think I found our
Caroline
answer.
Elizabeth Cottle. That's hilarious. You're right. I kind of cracked the code on it. Like,
you and Aaron Rodgers,
I'm like,
who've seen up the team together.
I'm like, hey, what was that? Why did you slow down? We
Aaron
don't
Rodgers
know that,
like,
that was a done
said.
Deal. What about, why'd
said.
You miss the kick? Fired. Hey, fired.
You're firing people on the side, and then like the owners are having to be on the side. They're like, hey, you're not fired. You're
they're
not
like,
fired.
We don't. Yeah, I'm like,
she just has to
don't
say
that.
It.
Don't say that.
You are. You are fired.
Don't undermine my authority. You're fired. I'm going to go
kick it.
Take
the pads off. Go home.
I kick it. I miss. I completely actually don't even kick the ball. I kick like the grass. I'm like,
you fall.
Okay, well, sorry, but it's not supposed to be my job. I can't help. I got thrown in here because my kicker missed one, which isn't allowed. This is supposed to be my job. I'm supposed to coach. And those who can't do, teach. And those who can't teach, teach gym. Anyway.
Those who can't teach gym, coach professional
coach football. Yeah. I'm just like. But yeah, don't you agree? But Anthony agreed with me about the, like, don't slow down.
Mm-hmm. Like, I agree. I need Heinz Field
called,
to
that's
be
called
absolutely
giving up.
Turbocharged tomorrow.
Anthony goes, we're getting snow. We're getting a cold front. This is great.
I need
Texas,
that priest.
People aren't going to be prepped for it.
I need that priest there.
That's so funny.
With actually, like, we need to be pumping holy water into the sprinkler system.
Totally agree.
Because anyway. That was the end zone he missed on.
I know. It's crazy.
It's so funny.
It's
so
epic.
Awesome.
So this is not a sports podcast, but it did just briefly become one. But now you guys kind of know what headspace
we're in.
And guys,
everybody calm down. Everybody calm down. I know we sound so smart. Barstool, put down the phone. Dave Portnoy,
Barstool,
we are
the answer
not
is no.
moving to you.
The answer is no. We're happy where we are. Thanks.
93.7 The Fan. No, thank you. Adam, put down the phone.
The ESPN.
Yeah, we'll
the
be
red
guests.
Zone, don't call me.
Adam will be guests. Oh, fine. But we can't. I mean, we have our
if you
own
can
thing
afford us.
Here.
If you can afford us, And I also don't want to give out my football advice for free. Because I get paid to give it to the top
teams.
Wait,
Caroline, have you
I've been meeting with Tomlin tonight. And he'd be like, so the first thing, what's up with missing a kick? Tell Boswell that can happen. And number two, I felt like sometimes no one was catching a ball. What's up with that? And number three, why are you slowing down sometimes running? I mean, if you're tired, you should have slept more. I don't think it's okay. And that's what I got to say about the game. All right, good luck.
You need to Google the Indiana Colts owner.
Oh, I saw. And then the player.
That's you.
Oh, the woman.
The woman. The woman in her, like, her fur coat that she has had designed to be a Colts fur coat. And she's in, like, a Countess Luann fedora.
I love it.
And she has her own notepad.
And she's a tough
What
bitch.
Is she writing down? What is she writing down?
I bet it looks a lot like my notes when I'm writing down during the games that I'm watching.
Wait,
when Caroline's washing dishes, the Steelers score.
Anthony sends me a picture tonight of you with a notepad and glasses on.
He sends you a picture through the window of me meeting with Mike Tomlin and says, like, why didn't she let me come in? And I'm like, I'm sorry. It's not a good time for you
this
to meet him.
This is a business meeting. Sorry.
Just drop me off and it's not a good time for you to meet him. Sorry. He doesn't know I'm married. Some people don't take married women seriously. So I just, like, you know, in the sports world at least. Anyway, okay. So we were going to talk about Gossip Girl. I know we just kind of like shot the shit a little bit, but it's been a minute since we've been on the horn. So hopefully you enjoyed. But we're going to talk briefly about like the pop culture world of this time, of these first few episodes in Gossip Girl season one. So we're really focusing on 2007. And I feel like we need to like name the year 2007, like the year of.
I turned six.
Okay. The year Phoebe turned six.
It's the year I turned seven. I was six that year.
The year of six. Well, for some people, it might have been the year of six rehab stints or DUIs. Like the year should be 2007, the year of the DUI. 2007, the year of rehab. 2007, the year of finding coke in your car. 2007, the year of the female starlet's downfall. That's what this year should be called. Wait until I walk you through the bullshit that was going on this year. As if it's not a full treasure trove. I mean, bad things happen, but all these people are fine now. So we can just, it's okay. It all happened. It's part of the narrative. But I think it like couldn't, I can't imagine a better cultural landscape for Gossip Girl to premiere in than this world. So are you ready to hear about some of this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're going to be familiar with essentially all of these things that happen, but you're not going to believe that they all happen like within days of each other. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
So it's just like every star imploded. So we're really focusing here on Misha Barton, which obviously that is relevant coming from the OC, same showrunner, Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie, Britney, Spears. And then also a little bit of the Kardashians sprinkled in here too. Okay. So we're gonna start with January. January, the month is cold, the tea is hot. Kim's sex tape is leaked.
That's crazy.
And she says she did not shop it around, but we believe that she did. And it is in January that we start the year this way. This is also before the iPhone. So like I also need us to think for a second about the concept of like nudes and like sex tapes in this era. Like
it took a little more work.
They had to really like put effort into doing this and having it. And like, how do you leak a VHS tape? You know what I mean? A VHS sex tape. Not that it was on that, but I'm like,
I think Kris Jenner perusing her daughter's collection. Camera.
Yeah, like
seeing dollar signs.
I'm just confused about that. Same with like, this is the year that Vanessa Hudgens got caught for sending nudes and the Disney Channel made her apologize and like release a public statement. But I'm like, the iPhone had literally just come out. So these are either like BlackBerry nudes or, which I'm like, do those even constitute as nudes? What could you see in that?
Sorry.
Any photo that was taken on like, I'm saying like, these nudes were, the iPhone wasn't even released at this time. So the nudes like are being taken on BlackBerries. Like, can we even call these nudes? What is there to apologize for? Did anyone even see a thing? You know what I mean? Like, it looks like these were taken on a rock. So anywho, okay. So that's the first thing. Also in January, Lindsay Lohan goes to rehab, her first of the year. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to go in like chronological order. We'll see what we got here. Okay. We're moving into February. Britney Spears shaves her head. This okay. happens in February, okay? 2007. Wow. Yes, she also checks into and out of rehab in the same day. Nicole Richie gets a DUI in February. Misha Barton crashes Nicole Richie's car on Sunset Boulevard in February. But everyone
Wait,
was okay.
I don't think I realized
they were friends.
Misha Barton was connected to them.
Oh, very much. Paris Hilton arrested in February because she was driving without her headlights on. And then when she got pulled over, they found out she had a suspended license. So she was also arrested in February. Okay. And then I think also in February, it was either February or March, Paris Hilton leaks the blind item that Lindsay Lohan is seeing Samantha Ronson, which is a little Pretty Little Liars callback, if you need that. What do you mean Paris Hilton is the one that leaked that? That is epic. That is.
I want to know what fight they got in that made
her do that.
Because
they were all hanging out. I know. It's so crazy. Okay. Then in March, we've got Khloe Kardashian getting her DUI. So, okay.
And that's where we get the classic, your sister's in
prison. Kim stopped taking pictures. Your sister's in jail. Yes. Or your sister's going to jail or whatever. Yes. Okay, great. Moving on to April, Lindsay Lohan steals $10,000 in clothes from her roommate in rehab. And she then gets sued by this person. And Nicole Richie sends this person a nasty fucking text, which I will read to you.
Oh, I think we've covered this before.
We have. Are you okay? I know you have nothing, but Jesus fucking Christ. Are you so desperate for new clothes you're willing to file a police report to get some? I'll go to Goodwill for you and pick out a nice new pair of pants for you to wear and split open because you're getting so fucking huge. If you're going to do drugs, at least have something to show for it. It keeps going. I don't have the rest of it. So that also happens in February. in April. Also in April, okay, April was a quiet month, I guess. In May, Lindsay Lohan has a DUI. She crashes on Sunset. Coke is found in her car. She ends up having to go to rehab. She then gets another DUI in June. We get an, she
At
goes
what
to rehab.
Point do we, how many DUIs do you have?
Can you have?
Yeah.
Like, no,
and
I know.
Also, like, even before just putting the thing in the car, that means you can't start the car without.
And the interlocks. I know. I wonder if these are like other people's cars or like, I don't know.
Is she driving without a license? Like, if you're not, like,
she must be. Like, it's crazy.
Like three strikes, you're definitely out. I'm comfortable taking someone's license away with two.
I'm comfortable taking their license away.
Depending on the severity of the first one.
Yes, exactly. Totally.
If you killed someone, obviously.
For sure. In May, Misha Barton also overdosed on shrooms at Nicole Richie's party and woke up in the hospital saying, "Who's the bitch who called the cops?" Paris Hilton goes to jail two times in June. The first time she goes, she serves like 3 days. She gets sent home and then she has to go back like the next day. And there are pictures of her like crying in the car on the way to jail the second time. So there's that. Then
why isn't there like a really good concrete documentary about
all
this?
But this is what we were looking for when we were watching that Queenmaker thing. This is what we wanted. I know, yeah. Exactly. Okay. Brittany, I said the whole, she checks into and out of rehab on the same day. The next day has the umbrella moment with the paparazzi. The Perfect. Very next day. Perfect. In August, Gimme More is released, that song. In August, Lindsay Lohan goes to rehab again.
It's crazy,
Lindsay then,
as this is all happening, she's still releasing some of the best music.
Still
she ever
releasing
has.
Some of the best fucking music. This is also the year she performs Gimme More at the VMAs, which is famously one of the saddest Britney performances that we have.
Definitely.
Lindsay Lohan goes to jail in November. I missed one in August. Nicole Richie goes to jail in August for DUI. She's pregnant. Goes to jail for a DUI while pregnant. And then
How
Misha
pregnant?
Barton is arrested. I don't know. Misha Barton is arrested in December for a DUI as well. All of that happened the year the Gossip Girl premiered. And I'm like, people were mad about Gossip Girl. But can you believe, like, all those girls were hanging out together and they were doing all this. And then they were going on talk shows and saying, no, I don't do drugs. No, none of this is true. Like, Paris went on David Letterman. He made her cry this year. Like, all those things were happening.
I can't
Isn't that insane?
Misha
all those mugshots that we've seen, all from this year.
That's crazy.
What'd you say?
The one of Lindsay Lohan with the spray tan and the bad lips.
Yes, that's this year. The picture we have of her in the car where she's blonde, she's like that picture is from this year. The picture,
I can't believe,
obviously, of Britney. And Britney's hair, by the way, sold on eBay the next day for like over $10,000 the day after she shaved her head.
Fuck.
And then, of course, they got like divorces. So, like, Britney and K-Fed divorced this year. Lindsay Lohan dated everybody under the sun. Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel got together this year, started dating. Also, I didn't know this. Ryan Reynolds and Alanis Morissette were engaged for 3 years. They broke up this year. Foreshadowing. Other like relationships during all of season one, Blake Lively, Penn Badgley were dating. And the rumors are that she cheated on him with Ryan Reynolds. And then that's when they officially broke up. But they also broke up a couple times because she dated Leonardo DiCaprio for a little bit. And I think Ben Affleck, there are rumors that she was responsible for the... Actually, this is a crazy rumor. I don't know if this is true, so I wasn't going to say it, but now I am. And it's totally a rumor, and I don't know if it's true. But the rumors are there were these nudes that were leaked, and there was no head in the nude, apparently. Like, you can't see who it is, but people matched up a birthmark, I think, and maybe tattoo, but so definitely a birthmark to Blake Lively.
So step monster, Kate.
Fucking crazy. That was sent to Ben Affleck, okay? And the rumor is, and this is like literally, again, heinous if not true, heinous if true. The rumor is Jennifer Garner released it, leaked it, because it like broke up her marriage, like was part of why they, yeah. Which I'm just like, what?
I don't buy that.
That can't be true. And then there was a joke made at an award show, and they were like, and it was like, I think it was Reese Witherspoon who said it. She said something about like, make sure you don't put your head in the picture when you take nudes. And it was like, apparently.
Wait, well, what year was Reese Witherspoon's DUI?
Oh, that was, I think, later. Maybe. She also went through a divorce with Ryan Felipe during 2007. So it would have been after that. I know. Isn't that crazy? The first iPhone was released. Also the BlackBerry Curve with BBM. Both were released in 2007. Like, it was an insane year for pop culture. Superbad was released in 2007. That movie, like, I don't know. It's bonkers. But yeah, so isn't that crazy, though, if true, about the nude and Jennifer Garner release? I just can't see her doing it. But that is what the scrolls say. Crazy. And the scrolls are Reddit feeds. So I don't know that the scrolls are always accurate. But, like, the fact, I mean, there needs to be a book just written about 2007.
When did The Housewives debut?
The Real Housewives? I want to say it was before that, wasn't it? Desperate Housewives was in 2007, I believe.
Dang.
I know.
Well, that inspired Housewives.
Okay, then, yeah. Desperate Housewives came out in 2007. Hilary Duff did her With Love performance, with the viral dance that everyone does. That happened in 2007. Hayley Duff and Kim Kardashian had some major beef in 2007, and their like emails to each other were leaked where they
Hayley Duff also she has beef with Hillary now.
Well, yeah, allegedly. But yeah, it just was like such a crazy time for like it girls. There were also rumors about Lauren Conrad having a sex tape at this time. It's just wild. Like, I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, so Blake and Penn Badgley dated. They dated on and off 2007 to 2010. And then Leighton Meester was dating Sebastian Stan.
Ooh.
Which I totally forgot about. And now I've like seen all these pictures. They were a great looking couple. Yeah, and it was sweet. Like when we saw them, I was at the Emmys last year when there was kind of like a sweet moment picked up between them during his speech. And he was like looking at her, which by the way, the Golden Globes are tonight.
I know.
I'm so excited. Happy. Nikki Glaser's hosting again.
Me too.
Like, and what
tonight's
I one thing
stacked.
I
I'm ordering food tonight and I'm flipping between football and the Golden Globes. I cannot wait.
Work. Gonna be epic. Anyway, those were really the pop culture notes I just like wanted to point out of that year. Also, two more things I need to say is that Miley, the Best of Both Worlds tour, the Hannah Montana tour, is like the first one that actually started like the resale drama because it sold out so fast and moms were freaking out. And then a bunch of different merchants got sued because people were reselling them for like thousands of dollars.
This was
like
in 2007?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And that was like, I believe one of the first times like that, like a tour like that did that. Wow. So stay tuned for her new one that she's going to do, which I can't fucking wait for. And then also there was a big writer strike in November.
Oh, right. Lasted. Well, it affected Friday Night Lights, of course.
It affected Gossip Girl as well. But it was also responsible for a lot of the buzz around Gossip Girl because during that time they could only do like reruns. So they were playing reruns of this first season and people were like, that was what they were watching. And so that's kind of how they, so when it came back, it like came back with a vengeance. People were like really excited about it. But anyway, I feel like it was like a perfect time for the show to come out, especially with the way that they like leaned into the negative feedback about it. Like,
I agree.
Within this cultural context, it was perfect. Anyway, so just a little, just to give you some context of like what was happening in the world when this show was happening and when we're like in the first half of season one and these kind of things were happening. But we were also going to talk about sleepovers in pop culture because Daredevil has such a good one. And we were like, I don't know, I feel like the sleepover topic was like a hot one in.
Yeah, everybody was having sleepovers.
Everyone was having sleepovers except for the Connell girls. Do you want to know? Mom was not a good fan of. I had sleepovers, and if I ever have kids, my kids will not have sleepovers, and they won't like me for that. But that's just the truth. But mom, like all our friends, were always allowed to have sleepovers, and mom was like, "No." I mean, we did, but she was.
I was
like,
allowed to have them at other people's houses, but I feel like for the most part, we didn't. I mean, there were a couple times I think like Cammy or like I think I had a sleepover like Teresa once. But like typically mom was like, I don't want them in my house.
Well, it was hard. I remember that was like, I never wanted to be at our house. I wanted to go to other people's. Cause like if I went to a sleepover at Caitlin's house, no rules.
That's true.
But it was also and like, she I was the youngest.
The Crowley's house was so fun for sleepovers.
Yeah, it was great. Cause the parents were on the third floor.
And the setup was just like so cool.
Yes. They couldn't hear anything. They always had the best snacks.
And I feel like Caitlin's room was like massive.
It was humongous. She had a TV in her room.
And she had like a little like alcove and it was like purplish carpet, like light purple carpet.
Mm-mm.
I remember being there for a Super Bowl party and playing Polly Pockets up there.
Wow. I can't believe we let you do that. I can't believe we let you come up there.
I think you were like with the older kids, like watching the Super Bowl.
Why'd you put that in quotations? We just talked about what a football fan I am. That's crazy.
Well, I put together a list of sleepovers.
Okay, let's see it. You're like, Carol, first one, my sleepover in third grade with you start talking about the sleepovers you've had.
Oh my God, one time I had a sleepover. I'm not going to name names. I had a sleepover at someone's house and I thought it was just going to be like this group, like a specific group of people, like three of us. And then I walked through the door and this girl that I did not really like because she was annoying, like was hiding behind the door when I opened it and they were like, surprise! And I was like,
did they know you didn't like her?
I don't know. I think
because why
like,
else are they surprising you with her
I
presence?
I think it was like she had a play date with the girl who was hosting. And so it became like, well, we can't like it probably well, also, came up that there was a sleepover. And then it was like, well, now we can't not invite her.
God, the stress of being like, we're all going to so-and-so's birthday party and some people are invited for a sleepover after, mm-hmm. but you can't tell everybody. Oh my God, I hated that. But I also loved it. Because I was always invited. But also sucks to be that girl and realize she wasn't on the initial list because otherwise why would it be a surprise that she was there? You know what I mean? Like way to just let her know that she wasn't initially invited to the sleepover because Phoebe will be shocked to see you. Anyway.
Okay, the first one I have listed is the sleepover and John Tucker Must Die.
Oh my God, that is such a good one. The snacks that they and the mom being so happy that her daughter has friends over. Oh my God. No, that movie is just also such an ode to female friendship.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And enemies. And freaking
well, yes,
enemies.
Of course. Of course. The enemy that is men.
Well, exactly. Exactly. But also all the girls, they initially thought that they were all enemies. They mm-hmm. were wrong. And they were totally wrong. And I bet they had a million fun sleepovers after that.
I bet. But I just, that's such a fun one when they begin to scheme and they're realizing
sleepover?
All these things. It's so fun.
What could be better than a sleepover with a mission? That was just like the best trope. Like, I don't know if it's next on your list, but the movie Sleepover.
Oh, no. Well, you know, this is more my list.
Wait, that wasn't even on your list?
No.
What are you talking about? Are you crazy? The movie, it is literally titled Sleepover. Not on your sleepover list. Not on your list of famous sleepovers. It's perhaps the most famous sleepover. Alexa Vega and Sarah Paxton were there. That's crazy. That's so crazy.
Well, speaking of Sarah Paxton, this is kind of an honorable mention. I have a few on here.
Aquamarine.
I have a few on here that aren't explicit sleepovers, but have...
Aquamarine's like the never-ending sleepover.
Exactly. And it's like you see them in like Claire's room and then also... What the fuck is the other girl's name? It's something annoying. Haley?
Yeah, Haley.
Haley's room when they have like the fish, and it's like their last night.
What an annoying name, by the way. Sorry if your name's Haley. Phoebe apparently thinks that's such an annoying name. No. And how dare you have it?
It's annoying for that character.
That character's annoying. Sorry, Jojo. Sorry, Joj. That character's annoying.
But yeah, Aquamarine has just such beautiful sleepover energy.
It's also that energy of like the summer when like you can have the never ending sleepover. It's not like out of the question to have multiple sleepovers. And also just like, oh God, the idea that also the thing about the famous sleepovers is they all have like a few tropes that make them so great that it's like, even if those things happen outside of a sleepover and a plot, I still get that same feeling, which is like the makeover. I love a good makeover.
Which is what Mean Girls almost made the list, but there wasn't a concrete
enough. Do they have a sleepover?
I don't think they do. I tried Googling it. But I don't
But it's
think
like a similar vibe. Like you could see them having a sleepover in Regina's room. Like,
well, that's why also on my list, my other honorable mentions, Pitch Perfect 2 specifically. I just watched Pitch Perfect 2. They all live in that house together. And there's a scene where Becca's coming back from her internship and she sees them having a pillow fight like through the window.
Oh.
And like they're all in like cute PJs and like really bonding.
Pitch Perfect 2.
Pitch Perfect 2 is an honorable mention. And then Parent Trap, Sleepaway Camp is the never ending sleepover.
Oh,
and
my God. Also,
and this is a key to like sleepovers have a specific kind of energy because they are technically having sleepovers, but it doesn't feel like a sleepover until they're sharing the Oreos and talking about and piercing each other's ears.
Specifically when we're in the isolation cabin or whatever, like that moment of the sleepover. Yeah. Where it's like, it's kind of like, oh my God, wait, I don't ever want it to be morning. I want it to stay night. And it's the same thing when there's like rain kind of vibe where it's like, I don't want it to stop raining because I like being trapped in here with you and like having this kind of like girl hoodie type moment. I still just, but even so when they're all in the cabin together, like in the moment where they've got like the pranks that they play on each other, like I love a good sleepover prank, which is another reason I can't believe the movie Sleepover didn't make your list.
Sorry.
Their epic scavenger hunt where they have to like lie to the parents. I love that trope. Jane Lynch is the mother. Like it's, that movie is the epic sleepover, is the most epic sleepover with the older brother who's like in charge and he's sort of like
that's
a nincompoop.
Nincompoop.
He's sort of a complete and total nincompoop, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess I should have put that on the list. It's just like, it's not a movie that really sticks out for me and my life. But I have a few more. One is Clueless is another movie that doesn't have an explicit sleepover. Even though Elliot does come over, that's kind of a sleepover vibe. Like, he brings in the vibe of, like, he just wants to watch movies with her all night and, like, bake cookies and do whatever.
Yes,
but also Cher's whole vibe anytime the girls are over gives sleepover.
I agree. Then the makeover scene.
We have the really the first depiction of a sleepover probably ever. Grease.
Oh my God, look at me. I'm Sandra D. You're right. Oh, and that's is a mean girl sleepover. That's a mean girl sleepover. And a sleepover I've probably been at before.
And
we're all making fun of the virgin.
Caroline's not Sandra D. She is Rizzo.
Guess who I am. Thank you for not saying I'm Jan. I am definitely Rizzo.
Well, that's her Santana moon coming out.
You're so right. Wait, it's so funny because I was just listening to Good Hang with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Which, by the way, I love that people are finally like, wait, Gwyneth Paltrow, we're allowed to think she's likable. I'm tired of having
to hide it. Oh my God, well, because she's on there and she's like,
she's a blast.
Did you listen to it?
I listened to clips of it.
There's a moment where Amy Poehler's like, oh, let's talk about your like conscious uncoupling thing. And Gwyneth was like, honestly, like, and Amy was like, I understand what you were saying with that, where you were like, look, like it doesn't. And she was like, yeah, I was saying that. I was saying like, I would love for there to be a choice I can make here to choose not to hate each other and to choose to co-parent in a way that like, we can still get along and support each other and have our kids see that. And she's like, but I also totally get why that's like, that not would rub people the wrong way. And like that would, people would hear that and be like, oh my God. And she's like, so I think people are totally entitled to their opinions about that. Like she's in on the joke. She's in on both sides of it with a lot of things.
Amy mentioned the movie that Nicole Kidman was in and Gwyneth Paltrow was like, do you think of Nicole
Kidman?
Wasn't
in that one. You just confused me for Nicole Kidman. Thank you. Like she like loved it.
And it's like, I think that this caricature of Gwyneth Paltrow that people have created, because she is a little bit ridiculous and absurd, I think they would have expected her to be like, what do you mean? I wasn't in that movie.
No,
and
totally.
And like kind of be a bitch about it.
And I'm sure Amy Poehler had a moment of like, holy fuck. There's also a great moment where she talks about smoking cigarettes. Like there's a part where Amy's like, oh, is it a lot of waiting in like a Marvel movie? And Gwen's like, oh my God, so much waiting. And Amy was like, I bet the craft services is pretty good. Which my first thought was like, if I'm waiting on a movie set, all I'm doing is eating from craft services. But I know that's not what Gwyneth Paltrow was doing. So like, what is she doing? And she was like, oh, remember cigarettes? Like, oh my God, when you could just go smoke a cigarette. Like, oh my God. And she goes, you know, I've decided when I'm 87, I'm going to start smoking again. And she was like, I am. I'm going to. And then she talks about being in the Royal Tenenbaums. Is it Baum? That's how Amy Poehler kept saying it. I've always said Baum. But she was like, oh yeah, well, I quit smoking right before that movie. And then they were like, your character smokes. And I was like, oh, guess I smoke again. Like, she was just like... I mean, it was funny.
She's,
like,
she's very likable. And
she's likable.
I do think we all should have looked back and been like, look, I know she left Chris Martin for Brad Falchuk. So, like, whatever how you want to look at this situation on Glee. But I do think you have to have a funness to you and kind of, like, the ability to laugh at yourself to play Holly Holiday in Glee.
Yes. And what I initially brought this up, the reason is because she brings up Glee on the podcast and how much she learned from it. And she was like, I mean, compare a movie to Glee. She was like, holy shit. They were like, it was the most productive set I've ever been on in my life. Like she said, they got so much done because a TV show, it's like they're just spitting out content so fast. She was like, it really changed my perspective on like work ethic on a set and things like that, which is kind of cool to hear someone say about Glee. But anyway,
my last two sleepovers.
Oh, yeah.
13 going on 30.
I was just going to say that. That
and
one.
Princess Diaries 2, which to me, and I think this might be a generational thing. That's the, like that is, I feel that way, the way that you feel about sleepover. Like to me growing up, that was what a sleepover.
Sorry, I have to catch my breath. I thought, oh my God. I literally, Phoebe, I thought you were about to say that Princess Diaries 2 for you is like the more formative Princess Diaries movie. And I was like, oh, no.
It's not.
Oh my God. I mean, it's an amazing movie. Raven Simone's in it. Like, of course it's great. They literally surfboard on mattresses going down
Julie
a massive
Andrews
slide.
Surfboards.
Julie Andrews surfboards on a mattress. No, that sleepover, when I think of like amazing pop culture sleepovers, it really is the sleepover movie, one. Princess Diaries 2, Gossip Girl, Daredevil. Like those three for me, massive. But I do love the 13 going on 30 when they all sang Love is a Battlefield. Mm-hmm. And like, but I am like, where are your parents, girls? Where are your parents?
Know.
My mom would have been
like,
isn't it weird?
Memory. I had to jog my memory about that one when I was like Googling everything. And I was like, is it the sleepover where she gets like, is it her birthday party? Is that a sleepover? And she gets like super sad. And then I was like, wait, you're right. She does have a sleepover as a 30-year-old woman.
With a bunch of teenage, like 13-year-old girls. Who were like, oh my God, you wear a thong? Yeah, like.
And her like, oh my God, you just kissed an adult man?
Yeah, and one of the girls is the girl from The Secret Life of the American Teenager, the redhead. That's the girl she meets in the elevator when she's like, can you see my underwear?
That movie
totally
really
wearing them. Or whatever. Like that girl.
Really,
was it Ashley Benson? Brie Larson?
Brie Larson.
Massive jumping off point. I know.
And it's never the main ones that kind of hop back.
Well, Jennifer Garner was the main one, I would say.
No.
Oh, you mean the little kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to say something kind of controversial here and maybe mean, but I do feel like part of that is the whole point of Jenna Rink's story is that she transforms into the popular girl, but she wasn't. And it's like the popular girl look and like feel is more marketable for those actors, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's fair.
Those girls were it girl, they were cast to be it girls, and they were actual it girls in real life. Whereas,
well, you just
like,
said something mean, can I say something mean and then maybe
course,
we put a pen in this?
Yeah, I love that.
My theory on the Lucy Hale Ian Harding project
okay
is that they are seeing how much people adore Ashley and Tyler and Shay and everybody, like, and they're not having to even do a project, and Ian and Lucy were like, how can we open this back up?
Let me just piggyback on that by just saying that I did film a whole TikTok about this, and then I didn't post it to my drafts, but I did film a TikTok talking about this movie and kind of alluding to that, because also I was like, why did they announce it before this Christmas when it's not coming out until next Christmas, mm-hmm. unless they want an entire year of milking the Ezria content to promote this movie, and which, like, I cannot blame them for. I do not blame them.
I like, is it gonna,
but maybe you should have waited until at least, like, I'm like, wait until after Christmas, because now it's gonna get lost in the like everyone's releasing a Christmas movie and you announced it and it could get lost. I mean, it won't, but it could get lost in that. But mm-hmm. I was like, oh, because now they have an entire year to be feeding us this content. So we're excited. Because
now
really
they can
well.
They can be doing everything that they used to do on set, doing their little videos yeah. and everything.
Exactly. And they wow. should. And good for them. And good for them. And
but
you know
I just
what?
Thought
I'm
it was interesting
it, yes.
that like.
100%. And why is it somehow like it. Still like cooler that Ashley Benson and Tyler Blackburn don't have to do a movie? Their movies are just the TikToks they're making together. That's their movies. And they just like will forever have to try less hard, which sounds so mean, but it just is true. They are inherently cool. And I think Lucy Hale is a fucking bad bitch, but I don't know that she has the inherent coolness that,
no,
Ashley,
that
Benson
Ashley Benson
has.
Does, for sure.
And that's not a
and
read.
And congratulations to Troy and Belisario. She's pregnant again.
Oh, yes. Congratulations to her. It was a cute post they made. Anyway, you guys. Okay. So I know that this was a kind of all over the place episode, but hopefully you enjoyed. As we continue on, these Tuesday episodes will continue to take shape and turn into like what they are meant to be. But if you have ideas, things you want to hear us talk about, think Pretty Little Punch Bowl, think, you know, kind of getting deeper into the Gossip Girl stuff or the pop culture of the time, etc. Let us know what you would like to see. We love you guys so much. On Thursday, we have our recap of season one, episode 6 of Gossip Girl called The Handmaid's Tale. Really, really fun one. Masquerade Ball. Vanessa Abrams is introduced, so make sure you listen to that. Thank you guys so much for listening. We love you so much, and we will see you next week.
And splat.